So, hello, St. Peter's. I've heard of your compassion and your faith, with your generosity to people around you, the numbers of people you feed and the numbers of people you provide shelter for, and the 152 people that you provided Thanksgiving dinners for yesterday in preparation for this week. It's an incredible reputation of joy. You guys clearly get it, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is something deep in your DNA that causes you to do acts of kindness whether you think about it very much or not. The whole point of the gospel today is that the doing of kind things, if we love Jesus, is a natural extension of our prayer life. So that there is such a close connection between what we pray and what we do that they become a seamless garment. Spirituality and activism, touching the lives of people. It's incredible stuff you do, which reflects a history, something deep in your DNA, started long time ago by faithful people and priests who saw the need in Phoenixville and actually beyond and began to reach out. So I give great thanks to be here in your midst and to see and to hear again your faith. I want to do three things today. One is to look rather more extensively at Ezekiel, and then to look very briefly at the gospel, and then to tell you a bit about Siemens Church Institute. So I asked the reader to include the whole pericope. That's why she started before your bulletin and read. You might have thought for a moment that she was reading the wrong text, but the preacher had told her that she had to read the whole thing. So she graciously agreed to do so. Because in the first section, verses 1 through 10, there is a judgment going on. God is judging the rulers of the kings of Israel because of their unfaithfulness to the people of God. They are called shepherds. It's a wonderful metaphor that we don't know a great deal about today, but we've heard it from our childhood in reading the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. When I walk through the shadow of death, he is with me. You know it, right? Most of I see lips moving out there, you know it. And it's sunk deep into our hearts. And that's the best possible example, but what Ezekiel is describing is the worst possible example. He has entrusted the people of Israel to his kings. And the kings have fleeced the sheep. They've taken the wool of the sheep and the kings have used it for their own tents and their own fine raiment, and they've left nothing to cover their sheep. They have taken the food that was intended for the sheep, and they've laid lavish tables for themselves, but they've not taken care of the sheep, and the sheep have been hungry. The weakest in the society have been left on the streets to die. The sick have gotten sicker and died because the shepherds have not taken care of their people. And finally, even the strongest people in the society have gone away because there's nothing here for them. Their children have moved far away to various parts of the world of that time, and they're gone. There's nothing left. Israel itself in Ezekiel's time has been carried into a fierce captivity in Babylon, and there's nothing left. That's the indictment of the first 10 verses of Ezekiel. You have taken my sick, the strays, and even the strong, and you've set them aside for your own purpose, your own prosperity, that you might drive your Mercedes while they go hungry. There's a powerful scene in the movie Schindler's List at the very end. Have you seen, how many have seen Schindler's List? He gives up everything he owns except one thing, his automobile. And he realizes at the end of the time that he could have saved more people, more Jewish people, during the time of Hitler had he sold his car. And so he says in mourning that he has held on to one thing that has caused people to die. People in love with God, that's clearly what God is looking for in this passage of Ezekiel, a people who are willing to see with God's eyes the people entrusted to their care, the people that work with them in the workplace, the people that are impacted by their lives, their families, that they will see people not as someone to exploit for their own wealth, their own power, their own strength, but they will see them as people whom God has entrusted to them to feed, to provide a safe place, a place where they can be protected, where their needs can be cared for, so that resources gained are spent in order to protect the sheep of God. And now God says in verse 11, I myself will be their shepherd, because these leaders, these rulers have failed. They have destroyed my people. I now will go among the nations, and I will bring back the strays that have gone astray. I will go among the ones on the street who have nothing, who are hungry, who are dying, and I will provide for their need and bring them in. Even though weak, I will cradle them. I will take them as a lamb and bring them back so that they might be safe, so that they might be cared for, even the weakest. It's a powerful passage. So he lays out in the first section these things that have taken place, the sick, the wounded, the harmed, and now he says, I'm going to go to the sick, the wounded, the harmed, and bring them back. Now, something rather peculiar happens at the end of the chapter, in verse 20 to 24, because now God has just said, I'm going to be their shepherd, and suddenly God says, I'm going to raise up my servant David. What in the world is he saying? Well, we remember, don't we, that in the Old Testament, David is a king after God's own heart, who, if he sins, always repents and never does it again, who is deeply concerned about his people and never builds for himself great kingdoms like his son will do, Solomon. He doesn't build hundreds of houses for his 100 wives or 300 wives, taking the money from the poor, but he builds one house. Longs to build a house for God, but even that he does not build, because God, he's obedient to God, and he does only what God tells him to do. So it's right that we remember David, but more importantly here, there is an anticipation by the prophet Ezekiel of one who will come, who will be of the lineage of David, who will be the good shepherd, and we'll see him. And now, these centuries later, these millennia later, we have seen him and known him in the person of Jesus Christ, who came, worked among the poor, the oppressed, the broken, loved the absolute outcasts of society, and gave his life for all, that all may be gathered again to a safe place. We come to St. Peter's on this morning because this has, for many, for generations, been a safe place, a place where we can encounter the compassion of God, where we can be strengthened for the work of service that we do when we leave here. And we go out on Monday morning and we do the things that have been entrusted to our care on Monday through Friday and Saturday, and coming back again for renewal and strength to do the work. You already understand acts of compassion. I just want to tell you about one other group. I'm the executive director of the Siemens Church Institute of Philadelphia and South Jersey. How many of you know we have a port in Philadelphia? And how many ships would you guess come into Philadelphia every year? Hundreds, yes. 1,600 last year. 1,600 ships came into our 32 terminals along the Delaware River. On 60% of those are on the Philadelphia side, 40% on the South Jersey side. They came from a lot of different countries, these ships. Some countries that I've never heard of, they came from. 41% of our seafarers are from the Philippines. 10% are from India. 8% are from the United States. All these seafarers coming to our ports. But when they come to Philadelphia, 75% of the seafarers that come here cannot get off the ship. Cannot get off the ship. Neil Secor, who was my predecessor by two, used to schedule soccer tournaments between the ships when they came in. But 9-1-1 changed everything. So since 9-1-1, only about 25% of the seafarers get off. We used to have 3,000 or 4,000 people come to our Siemens Center in Philadelphia. Last year, under 100 people came to the center. So guess what we discovered? If we wanted to take care of the seafarers that came into Philadelphia and South Jersey, we had to go to the ships. So we went on board 92% of the ships that came into Philadelphia and South Jersey last year. And we sat in the mess and we interacted with seafarers and we did the Eucharist on board. And in two cases, I've done funerals on board. One situation, a captain coming up the Delaware River died on his way up the river. And so the crew wanted us to do a service, and so we did. Another case, the chief officer's mother died in the Philippines, and so he asked that we do a funeral on board the ship for her because he could not go home to be with his family at that funeral. We go on board to take care of the welfare of the seafarers, to listen to what their needs are. Sometimes they're not being paid, and so we can interface with Customs and Border Protection, with the Coast Guard, and with Homeland Security to make sure that they start getting paid again. Sometimes we go on board and the crew is having difficulty with each other, and you can understand why, because one might find that there are four different nationalities on a crew of 17. Russian, Ukrainian, that's a pretty ticklish problem right now. And Filipino and Indian, and all of them have different desires as far as cuisine. Russians want to eat different things than Indians do, and Filipinos want to eat different things than Ukrainians do, and there's only one cook on board. So sometimes we're refereeing when we go on, and the chef then practices new dishes so everyone gets what they need to survive. Sometimes we hear of deep loneliness and we're able to provide them with phones and phone cards and hotspots so that they can Skype their families back home. During the summer we had two ships arrested. One of those ships was sitting out in the Delaware River between May and August when they finally got to come into one of the terminals, and we were able to negotiate with Customs and Border Protection to get them off the ship so that they could visit. If you can imagine sitting out in the river, looking at both sides of the river and not being able to get off for 6 or 7 months, pretty awful. That ship's sailing tomorrow. The work has been done, the ship has been sold, and it's all the repair is done. They get to sail tomorrow. So yesterday we went on board, we celebrated a Eucharist with the Filipino crew, most of which are Roman Catholic. And they said, we're going to give you a little snack. So they went into the other room, they came back, and suddenly the table was filled with all sorts of different foods, and it was the largest snack I have ever seen in my life. And so I asked, okay, what does dinner look like? But it was an act of gratitude on their part for our faithful work with them. And the people in the diocese reached out to them. The bishop provided tickets for them to go see the Phillies play. And the Phillies managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. We also got to see the Sixers play, and the Sixers managed to not even make any attempt at winning, but the seafarers loved it, and it was an incredible gift from the chaplain to the 76ers who provided the tickets. Different churches in the diocese have adopted some of the seafarers. A Philippine Roman Catholic Church has brought the Filipino crew that is the other crew that's arrested here to their church services and fed them dinner afterwards. The Russians really didn't want to have anything to do with us, and they've been here for about 7 or 8 months, Russians and Ukrainians. So I called up the Russian Orthodox priest and I said, we've got Russians and Ukrainians stuck in hotels in the area. Will you go see them? And the Russian Orthodox priest said, yes, we'll go. And then my assistant grew up in Moscow, so they could contact and speak to the Russian crews in that situation. This week, this past week, we packed what are called ditty bags. Ditty bags are bags full of knitted hats, scarves, knitted gloves, toiletries. And we packed 900 of those. We will pack another 2,000 or so before the end of January, and we will give away between 3,000 and 3,500 ditty bags to seafarers on the ships. Your tree here gives you an opportunity to give some of the things that go into a ditty bag. If you'd like to give an entire ditty bag, go online to SCI Philadelphia and look up what goes in a ditty bag, and we will give it to the seafarers during the next 3 months. How many of you have knitted scarves in the past? There were some at the earlier service that had, and knitted mittens and things. Yeah, these are an incredible gift that people give. You remember where I said the seafarers came from? India, Indonesia. What things do those things have in common? They're all on the equator. So when Filipino and Indian seafarers come here, they're thinking equator. And you arrive in Philadelphia this time of year, it doesn't feel like the equator. So they need lightly used coats and various other things to provide for them. I've come up on board visiting a ship, and the seafarers will be on the ship, and they'll have everything they own on. They'll have their t-shirts wrapped around their heads to keep their heads warm. They'll have shirts and gloves and everything they have, just trying to stay warm. So it's a need this time of year. We have volunteers from around the diocese that go and visit on the ships to respond to the needs of people. If you don't have enough to do at St. Peter's, we'd welcome you to come and be part of that ministry. But it sounds like you got a lot. And for that, I'm grateful. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, and I would encourage you to look at our website, sciphiladelphia.org, to see what we're doing. We tell stories over and over about the seafarers we're seeing. Just so you know, this port is the fifth largest port in the country. And the need is tremendous. The average seafarer makes $13,000 a year. I doubt if most of us can live on that little, but it works in their own countries to some degree. But their need is great. Thank you. It's good to be with you all. Blessings.